This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
Nicholas Butler has penned a novel of extremes. Little Faith is simple yet complex, an extraordinary look at the ordinary, an exploration of the ways in which belief is formed and shaken, and quite difficult to describe. But that didn't stop us from trying. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. Little Faith is a novel set in Wisconsin and takes place over the course of a year, beginning with spring and also ending with spring. It has to do with faith, organized religion, radical extremist religious thought. How would you describe what's going on here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I tell folks I almost wish I sort of had a glossary of religious or spiritual terms, because I feel like there's a lot of little different nuance happening with religion and faith and belief. But basically, I think the nutshell explanation is that it's about a 65-year-old guy who's closer to the end of his life than the beginning, and he's kind of got an unsteady relationship with religion and faith, but he's trying his best to figure things out, and he's also at a point in his life where some people that are close to him are fading away, and he's wondering what's going to happen to them and maybe what's going to happen to himself. So I think it's really about one person's kind of faith journey or exploration or something like that.
You know, you wrote in the epigraph that this novel was inspired in part by true events that transpired in Weston, Wisconsin on March 23rd, 2008.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reveal these truths because you waited until the end of the book to do so. And
yeah.
But that promise of the truth, that promise of truth was always in the back of my mind as I was reading this. So I assume, you know, the various possibilities of truth informed your writing.
Well, so that case was in the national media for quite a while after it happened. And then it lingered in the media even longer because the parents of the child who was, I guess you could say, the victim in this case, the parents appealed the case all the way to the state Supreme Court. So, you know, again, the case kind of lingered in the news media. And it was something that, you know, you can, like everybody in Wisconsin was talking about and still remembers. And I think it kind of had hung around in my memory, and I began thinking about, you know, what sort of parent would do something like that, and why would they do something like that? And then I began researching faith healing and prayer healing in America and was really appalled to see how old an issue it is and how widespread an issue it is. It's not just happening in rural America. It happens in big urban centers as well. And the more that I researched it, the more that I really felt like I had something that was worth following in a novel. You know, one kind of project of this book, or project for me as I'm writing the book and thinking about it, is preserving real people's memory through fiction and through my books. And so there's kind of the spirit of some people in my own life that are, that are in this book. Their spirit is kind of woven into the fabric of this book. And I also sort of thought about that case and preserving, you know, kind of a cultural or artistic memory of that case, because it was so, there's something to be learned from something like that, you know? And for me, it was, the something to learn was, if you are a family member and you have a sense that somebody's in danger, you should act on that sense, you know? So I think those are all capital T truths, you know? For sure, preserving the memory of that case is a capital T truth, I think.
You know, sometimes a complex character can be difficult to describe, so I'm going to ask you to do something that may be easier, but it also may be harder. Lyle Hovde, what one word best describes him?
Decent.
Okay. I don't think this is a spoiler because it was described in the opening pages of the novel. Lyle and his wife Peg suffered the loss of their infant son, Peter, many years before this novel takes place. How does that loss define Lyle?
Well, I think maybe the best way to answer that question is that I have a relative who suffered a loss that was sort of similar. And a lot of people suffer that sort of tragedy. But in the case of the relative that I'm thinking of, it wasn't that specific tragedy, but he had been a very devout Christian. When he suffered his tragedy in his family, I think he began questioning why that had happened to him. He felt that God had sort of punished him. So I think I was thinking about, like, well, how does faith play a role in recovering from some sort of tragedy like that? I mean, do you become stronger in your faith? Maybe some people would, but I think other people, their faith would weaken or altogether go away. And it's not really important how everyone responds to it. It's really important how the one character in my book responds to it, which is that his faith is totally shaken. And then the book is sort of a project of trying to understand how faith fits into the rest of his life, especially when members of his family, you know, believe so fervently, I think.
After losing Peter, Lyle and Peg adopt a daughter, Shiloh, who is an adult in this year that we're reading. There's a point in the book when Lyle is telling Shiloh how much he and Peg love her, and she replies, "Sometimes that's a hard weight to bear, that kind of love." Mm-hmm. Do you think that what she perceived as overbearing love played a role in how she raised her son?
I began thinking about somebody like Shiloh, who sort of has a murky origin story. She knows she's adopted. She doesn't find out later who her sort of real parents are. And I just had this sense that this character would never quite feel at home. And she'd always be on a quest to figure out who she was. And unfortunately for Shiloh, after she finds her genetic parents, one of them passes away. So then, and she realizes the other parent isn't maybe such a good person. And so she's adrift again. So I don't necessarily think that Peg and Lyle's love is even too overbearing. I think really what she's responding to is the fact that she's always just been kind of lost.
You know, Lyle is the protagonist of this book. I mean, we see things from his perspective, and he's a soul living a quiet yet thoughtful life. But he's not the only soul living a quiet yet thoughtful life in the pages of this book. Many characters, Charlie, Roger, Hoot, Otis, and Mabel, they were all interesting and not a bit of pretension among them. I read that Lyle was inspired by your father-in-law. Did you have inspiration for the other characters?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I think it's okay for me to, you know, talk about the Lyle character as my father-in-law. I don't necessarily want to get into the other people in my life that characters are inspired by. But I am happy to talk about my father-in-law, who's a guy named Jim. And he is just an incredibly kind, decent man. And I'm really fortunate to have him as a father-in-law. And I think over the period of time that I've known Jim and, you know, seen him interact with my children, the more I wanted to preserve his memory in a book. And I want my kids to be able to look at this book and read it and feel his spirit in there. And I felt that way with the other characters too, though they're, you know, in fairness, they're based on people that I'm not as close to as I am with Jim. So
I felt like I was receiving a conspiratorial little wink when Marilyn Robinson's Gilead was mentioned in the text, because reading Little Faith gave me a similar sort of feeling that I had while reading Gilead. I mean, it was quiet, it was unassuming, it was thoughtful, and it's the kind of book that will stay with the reader long after the last page has been read. So I'm just kind of curious, what kind of books do you gravitate toward when you read?
Yeah, great question. Well, I mean, I'm all over the place. You know, I read graphic novels, I read comic books, I read a lot of poetry, I read nonfiction and fiction. if I told you the last three books that I'd read, you might think I'm schizophrenic or something like that. I'm currently reading Eleanor Catton's The Luminaries, which won the Booker a ways back. Just prior to that, I read The Clan of the Cave Bearer. And then I read a really amazing collection of essays called Impossible Owls by Brian Phillips. And I also have Marlon James's new book on my bedstand. So that's a pretty broad selection and a pretty typical sort of display of what I might be reading. But, I mean, for purposes of this book, I remember reading Gilead and, of course, being deeply affected by it. But I also read, I think, in the past 4 years, Kent Harif's Our Souls at Night. And that book really, not to sound cheesy, but that book really touched me. The prose is so sort of plain-spoken. There's not a lot of artistic fireworks happening on the page. You know, it's just very self-assured. And it's about these characters sort of towards the end of their life. And I really wanted to write something with that much depth of feeling. So that was definitely a touchstone when thinking about writing this book.
You know, the characters you created were quite nuanced. And aside from Lyle, I'm curious about, did you have a favorite character to write?
Ah, boy. Well, I like the Hoot character, you know. I like the Charlie character. They're both friends of Lyle's, so they're kind of older guys. But, you know, Hoot and Charlie are not what you expect in a character. Hoot is gregarious. He smokes too much and drinks too much. And unfortunately, he's facing sort of a little bit of a health crisis at the end of his life. And Pastor Charlie is this, you know, he almost feels like a fallen pastor or something like that. He's a very real person who, you know, I think is a little bit cynical about religion and faith in the church. And those are fun characters to write when you're writing something that's a little bit different, that's unexpected. And they both hold a mirror up to Lyle and show him when he's being an ass, you know. And I like that, too. That's a great way to build a character, is just have one character interact with another one. But all these characters were fun to write.
That was Nicholas Butler, author of the book Little Faith, which was published by Echo. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover more episodes at KMUW.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Marginalia is produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.